that we are discussing Sakkapanya Sutta, which is available in Digha Nikaya, and we discussed various aspects of the Buddha. If I just give you a brief information that Sakka asked, so what is most important part is his question related to the Papancha Sanya Sankha, that is the mental proliferation. So that is why actually I have selected this sutta. And before coming to this, so there is very long discussion happened between Buddha and the Panchasika, who actually discuss about his fiance and then his love towards her. And again, then he actually used his lute and voice to enjoy Buddha. So likewise, some introductory information is there in this sutta. And later God Sakka arrives, and then he explained about that his group, that is the 33 gods, that is the Thavatinsa, has developed or progressed because of the rising of the Buddha. And there he mentioned that there is one newly born Deva called Gopaka, who actually was a woman in the previous life called Gopika, and how she actually practiced well and then had a male form as Gopaka, one of the highly prestigious kind of god in the Thavatinsa. So likewise, some information has discussed between the Buddha and the god Sakka, and ultimately he come to the kind of a questionnaire where he actually asked these questions from various other teachers, that is explained at the end. And anyway, so now God Sakka is asking various questions from the Buddha. So one important question that he asks is that even though people, that includes humans, gods, Gandharvas, Nagas, Asuras, all different types of beings, even though they want to live harmoniously, then still they have hostilities, kind of disputes, arguments. So what is the reason for this? Then Buddha answer telling that reason is issa and maccariya. So that is the jealousy and miserliness. So that is jealousy and avarice, jealousy and miserliness. So these are the main reasons Buddha say as the reasons. Actually, it is not difficult to understand these two reasons. And again, more and more you think about it, you can understand how reasonable Buddha's answer is. Even today, there are different countries arguing each other, different countries, they are going to battle each other, and different nations are in kind of disputes, and different groups of people are in different disputes, and families are in different disputes. And again, within two people are also various arguments, disputes, quarrels, etc. Now, underlying reason for this, probably one can understand jealousy and avarice actually play a very important role. So when someone is having something, say, precious or beautiful, which one also likes, then one feel jealous of that person. On the other hand, when one has something important, something valuable, then one doesn't want to share it with others. So then the others are in sort of jealous with this person. So it actually operates like a vicious cycle. So avarice and jealousy are, therefore Buddha mentioned, are the one major reason for happening this various kinds of quarrels, disputes, hate, wars, battles, etc. Then God Sakka asks what is the reason for jealousy and avarice, and then Buddha mentioned it is the tendency that people have that they like something and they don't like another thing. They like someone, they don't like another one. So this type of a conditioning is there in the people's mind. So this is the reason for having jealousy and avarice. Then God Sakka asks what is the cause of like and dislike. Then further Buddha elaborates more subtle aspects, that is the desire, chanda. So this chanda is actually not only for the, say, wholesome side, but also for the unwholesome side, there is kind of a desire. One is like to do something that may be wholesome, and one is trying to do something that may be unwholesome. So likewise, there is a root desire available in the mind. And then Buddha, God Sakha asks, what is the reason for desire? How desire may evolve? How desire may improve? So at that time, Buddha gave an interesting answer, that is because of thinking. So one start to think. When one start to think, so that promotes desires. When desires are further strengthened, that promotes likes and dislikes. Now they become sort of latent tendencies in one's mind, conditioning in the mind. And that ultimately leads to jealousy and avarice, and that leads to hate, harming one another, hostilities, etc. Now, after he asking that question, then God Sakha asks, what is the reason for thinking? Then we find a very interesting answer, that is tendency to proliferation. Papancha sanya sankha. So this tendency to proliferation is there with all the beings, and the very moment that there's a kind of a sense stimulation happen, they start to think. Because of the tendency they have for this mental proliferation, conceptual proliferation. And then actually God Sakha asks, what is the patipada? What is the path which is leading to the calming down or cessation of various mental proliferations? Then Buddha gives a very valuable answer here, which is quite practical, and one can incorporate this in one's practice, in one's life. And actually the answer is given with respect to various types of feelings. So feelings are of three types: pleasurable feelings, equanimous feelings, painful feelings. And Buddha mentioned there are feelings, those are better to associate, and there are certain other types of feeling, they are, should be avoided instead of association. Now, what is the criterion to select? So that is where Buddha mentioned, if you are associating, say it could be a pleasurable feeling, painful feeling, maybe even equanimous feeling, if those associations are going to lead the improvement of wholesome qualities, then no harm, you can associate that. Again, if you are associating any kind of feeling which is leading to improve unwholesome qualities and reduction of the wholesome qualities, you should not associate such feelings. So this is the criterion mentioned by the Buddha, how to select the association of different types of feelings. Now assume that one is associating only the wholesome type of qualities, that one wants to improve wholesome qualities and to reduce unwholesome qualities. So he is selecting what he is going to associate in terms of the feelings. And there also he mentioned, Buddha mentioned that while you are associating these different types of feelings, probably you may have still going on thinking and pondering. And if possible, now try to associate these feelings without thinking and without pondering. So that is more sublime, and that is more subtle, and that is more, uplifting than you are associating different types of feelings with thinking and pondering. Now you can see how gradually Buddha leads us to calming down of the mind, how leads us to inner silence. You started with selecting different types of feelings, and ultimately you ended up with kind of selecting only the feelings which are leading to improvement of wholesome qualities and decrement of unwholesome qualities. And once you are associating them also, now you have to think about how to calm down thinking, how to calm down mental proliferation, how to calm down pondering. And now you are calming down, now you are trying to develop inner silence, so that ultimately lead to the cessation of proliferation. And then after hearing this answer, God Sakka asks another question, that is how one has to develop the sense restraint, the Patimokkha sila, restrainment of according to the precepts. You know that there are, the lay people have their 5 precepts, 8 precepts, and 10 precepts maybe. And the monks have 10 precepts of samaneras, novice monks, and Upasampada sila, that is the Patimokkha Sangvara sila for the Upasampada or high ordained monks. Now, how one may properly practice these precepts, properly observe these precepts? So that is the question that God Sakka is asking. So at that time, Buddha answer telling that the conduct can be divided into 3 groups, bodily conduct, speech, and the pursuit of goals. And the bodily conduct, again, Buddha mentioned there are certain types of activities that you can associate and certain others should not be associated. So what is the criterion to selection? That is the same as before. If any bodily conduct, any bodily activity which is leading to the improvement of wholesome qualities, Buddha mentioned, you can associate it. If you understand that you are harming yourself and you are destroying your inner qualities, spiritual qualities, wholesome qualities, then you should not associate such bodily conduct. So same principle is common to speech as well as the pursuit of different goals. Now, pursuit of different goals is another kind of thing that we can look at here. So instead of telling mano vati samachara, mano samachara, instead of telling mano samachara, that is the various types of mental activities, Buddha has little refined it, telling that it is the pursuit of goals, what you call as pariyesana. One has different goals, determinations in one's life. So how are you going to decide? So this is what going to be achieved in the future. So what is your aim? What is your goal? What is your objective in your life? So when you are deciding that, one has to understand. So by accomplishing this determination, accomplishing this sort of pursuit, am I going to develop wholesome qualities or am I not going to develop wholesome qualities? So depending on that criterion, one has to determine or one has to decide one's own goals, pursuits, etc. And then God Sakka asks how one may develop sense restraint, control of sense faculties, Indriya Sangvara, how one may be properly develop that. Because in a way, God Sakka, after receiving kind of a very cognitive type of answer for the very first category of questions, that is the reduction of mental proliferation part, now he is asking in a way the behavioral type of questions. How one has to properly behave, one has to restrain oneself. So you can't achieve any kind of cognitive development, any kind of very high level spiritual development unless you control your gross behavior. So that is in a way type of obvious. So God Thakka further reinforces that part, asking these different questions which are more related with the sila, morality. Now he is asking about the sense restraint, because if you are not restraining the senses, if you are not guarding the senses, and if you simply allow your senses to associate various harmful types of objects, then ultimately it will spoil the mind. It will harm the inner silence. So you may not be able to maintain the inner equanimity or equipoise, because constantly your faculties are bringing you various different types of very vicious, inappropriate type of objects. So therefore Buddha mentioned there are 6 faculties, and using those faculties there are forms to be seen, there are sounds to be heard, there are smells to be sensed, and there are various tastes which you can feel, and different bodily sensations or tactile sensations that one can feel, and again different types of mental objects that you can cognize. So there again Buddha mentioned, you got to apply that same criterion, that when you are associating those different objects, you have to decide which is going to improve wholesome qualities and which is going to improve unwholesome qualities. If you understand, okay, by associating these kinds of sights, sounds, smells, tastes, etc., I am improving wholesome qualities, then no harm, you can associate them. On the other hand, if you understand, okay, these associations are leading to destruction of inner qualities, wholesome qualities, then we should not associate such the different types of objects. So this is in a way what we already discussed. Now we can go to the other part of the sutta, and then God Sakka asks, are all ascetics are teaching the same doctrine, practice the same discipline? Are all the different types of ascetics, religious groups, are they practicing the same thing? Then Buddha said, no, the world ruler of the gods is made up of many and various elements. So the Pali term, aneka dhatu nana dhatu ko devanam in the loko. Now this world is not sort of geared to one type of understanding. They have different views, many different views, and people have their different ideas. As a result of that, they don't have the same criterion, they don't have the same objective, so they have different objectives. So various religious groups are there, various teachers are there, so they teach differently. Their teachings are sometimes contradicting each other, and as a result of that, you can't say this everybody is following the same type of teaching. And then God Sakka asks, are these different types of religious practitioners, ascetics, are they fully liberated? Is their path going to lead to the same type of understanding? Then Buddha say, no, only the practitioners who arrived or who reached Tanha Sankhya Vimutto, where they perfectly destroy different Tanha Sankhya Vimutta, Te Achanta Nitta, Achanta Yoga Khemi, Achanta Brahmachari, Achanta Pariyosana. So this is a very strong statement here, who that we can consider as fully liberated, fully arrived their goal, completely fulfilled their objective. Can we say that all the practitioners who are practicing according to their different types of views, can we all generally say that they all reach the same goal? Then Buddha say, no. Whoever reach Tanha Sankhya Vimutta, this is a very interesting term, completely destroy craving, and they again have no bonds, freed from all the bonds, perfect in the holy life, and have perfectly reached the goal. So those are the ones one can say fully accomplished, completely liberated. So Buddha's, in a way, criterion of defining complete liberation, therefore one can say, shows the complete destruction of craving. So that is what, in a way, that we can understand in the Four Noble Truths. So you recognize craving as the second noble truth, and the practice that you need to do is slowly eliminating that craving, uprooting that craving. And there is a path for that. And ultimately you come to the cessation of craving. And actually not really ultimately. Then and there you are trying to achieve the cessation of craving. And you are leading with it. you are trying to maintain such freedom of craving. Now the mind is free from craving. So such mind has to be developed, cultivated. Ultimately the mind becomes completely free from any type of craving. So this is the point that Buddha highlights here. So if anyone is completely free from craving, then one can say he is a liberated person. And then actually God Sakha further endorses it, telling that passion is another type of craving, that sometimes another similar word used for craving. And God Sakha also mentioned that it is a kind of a boil, it is type of a disease, it is a dart, and it is the one person being whoever followed that desires, whoever become victim of those desires, actually will have different viewpoints and ultimately have different arguments, etc., and ultimately going to be in trouble. So therefore this craving has to be eliminated. So God Sakha also sort of rejoice in the Buddha's answer. And then there's another interesting incident he revealed with the Buddha. Now God Sakha is quite happy about Buddha's answers, and he mentioned that he actually has already visited various other ascetics, and he asked various questions because he felt that this person is practicing somewhat well, so I better ask my questions from this ascetic. So he has reached them, but he couldn't get the proper answers, and he couldn't achieve anything to himself. But here he mentioned that they become my pupils instead of I become their pupil. God Sakha go to a kind of a teacher and he want to ask questions, and they are asking, who are you? Then God Sakha answers, I am this Sakha. I am the lord to this realm, Tavatinsa realm. Then they are quite happy and they are asking a question. How did you come to this level? How you become God Sakha? What are the causes? What are the conditions? What are the wholesome deeds that you did? Then as far as possible, God Sakha explain what he know. He also knows some amount of Dhamma. So he explained that Dhamma to that teacher. And then they appreciate that teaching and they become a follower of God Sakha. So it is not that God Sakha become a student of that teacher, rather that teacher become a follower of God Sakha. So this is an interesting thing that God Sakha explained to the Buddha. And then here again he mentioned, now I have become a student of you. I, Lord, am a disciple of the Blessed Lord, and I am a stream winner. So he became a Sotapanna after hearing all these questions and Buddha's answers. Actually, he became the stream winner, Sotapanna. And he is not now subjected to rebirth in the hell realms, and firmly established in the Dhamma, and he is destined to full enlightenment. So, I mean, even without anyone's advices, guidance, now he himself can achieve the goal, maybe within at most within 7 lifespans. Now he is confirming his understanding. And then Buddha asks, and actually he mentioned that I am extremely happy with this discussion, and I was really benefited from this discussion, so I am extremely happy. Then Buddha asks, have you ever become so happy before this? Then Bodhisattva says, yes, I have. In another previous occasion, I was quite happy. That incident, by the way, is not kind of an spiritual type of, but it was derived through the war we had between the Asuras. Some time ago, we had a real war between Asuras and gods, Sura. And we actually won the battle. And ultimately, I was quite happy and I felt that whatever belonged to Asuras, are now belong to us. So as a result of that, I was quite happy. But Venerable Sir, that happiness was derived through wars. That happiness was derived through taking arms, taking weapons. So it is not the proper happiness, by the way. But now, the satisfaction, the happiness, the fulfillment that I feel today is quite different. And that he mentioned that happiness and satisfaction that is obtained by hearing the Dhamma from the Blessed Lord, which is not due to blows and wounds, does conduce to dispassion, detachment, cessation, peace, higher knowledge, enlightenment and Nibbana. Now this happiness that currently God Sakka is experiencing leading to further understanding. It leads to dispassion, it leads to disenchantment, Nibbida, and it leads to cessation of craving, and it leads to Nibbana. So therefore, this is a very sublime happiness today that I am experiencing. So he is talking very positively. He is talking in praise of the Buddha. And Buddha asks a question. So what are the reasons for your happiness? What are the different causes for your this type of very interesting, sublime type of happiness? And there God Sakka mentioned four causes due to which I am rejoicing. And one thing he interestingly mentioned here is that he actually expired his lifespan. Now, while hearing this sermon and while going through this understanding, he actually completed or expired his complete lifespan, his and he again been a God Sakka. Now gods also, celestial beings also have their lifespan. It is, according to the Dhamma, it is so long when compared to the human lifespan, in the present human lifespan. Assume it is say 8,000 years, 16,000 years, something like that. Even more than that. Now God Sakka actually come to meet the Buddha at the edge of his lifespan. Now he is almost going to die. But he is going through this discussion and he actually attained Sotapanna as well. At the same time he passed away and immediately he became the God Sakka again. So this is a very interesting phenomena, and he rejoiced because of that, because he didn't go to hell realm or didn't have any kind of a lower type of birth. Rather, he again was able to get the level of a celestial being and again the God Sakka. So this is a very interesting thing that I am now quite happy because of that. And then again he mentioned, one day after leaving this celestial realm, the 33 gods, Tavatinsa realm, I am mindfully will be a human being. Because now he is a stream winner, so it seems that he can't achieve further states while being the God Sakka. Anyway, according to his vision, it seems that he is talking about here his future birth, how he is destined to full enlightenment or arahantship. He explained that next life, I'll be mindfully become a human being, leaving this non-human realm of gods behind unerringly. I'll seek the womb I wish to find. Now here actually the human realm he is finding, and he will get a wholesome type of birth, human birth, in the next life. And there he is further developing himself, further practicing, and then here actually there's an interesting verse mentioned, Swaham Amulha Panyasa Viharang Sasane Rato Nyayena Viharisami Sampajano Patissato. Swaham Amulha Panyasa. Now after becoming a human again, so I am maintaining this wisdom, and again I am delighted in the Buddha's dispensation and I am practicing diligently. And again, according to the proper path, I will be leading my life. Sampajano patissato, with mindfulness and clear comprehension. So you can see how he is in a way clarified his path. Now no doubts, he is quite confirmed about his future, what he has to do. He is quite determined and the path is very clear to him now. And he knows in the next birth I am having a human birth, that is a very wholesome type of human birth. It is more kind of a human birth which is more conducive for my future practice. And now I am going to further enhance my wisdom and I develop further my practice with mindfulness and clear comprehension. So that is another reason that I am quite happy, because I know the path now. And I know the future birth also will be a wholesome one. And then he mentioned that the Buddha is well understood, and I properly understood Buddha's teaching, and ultimately I will be fully enlightened. And when I am leaving this human realm, actually not fully enlightened, I am achieving some further progress in my spiritual life. And when this leaving the human world again I will be becoming a god. Now he see his future lives in a way. And again in the highest rank. And ultimately, he'll be reborn in the Akanitta. So that is one of the pure worlds, Brahma world, which is only possible for the non-returners. And there I'll be attain the full enlightenment. So this is how he is seeing his future, how what is going to happen to him now in the future. And he is quite happy by seeing this progressive path that he is now going to have. And now in praise of the Buddha, he is explaining further his happiness and his kind of appreciation towards the Buddha. And there actually he is making very interesting verses. Like, I actually wandered here and there asking my questions, but I didn't get a proper answer. But today actually I had the opportunity to meet the Lord Buddha, and there I asked my questions, then I was able to eliminate all the doubts. Now I am a stream winner, now I have no further going down to hell realms, now I am destined to full enlightenment, so my future is quite bright. And it is more into the wholesome side. So now I am free from any fear. And therefore I worship the Buddha, who is the hero of the human. And again, like we worship the Brahma, when they are arriving to the Deva realm to preach Dhamma, now I worship you, the Venerable Lord. Now I worship you because now you are the kind of the preacher who actually has shown me the path. So likewise, he is praising the Buddha and he is paying respect to the Buddha again and again. Now he praised the Buddha and he beautifully mentioned, and the Sakka, ruler of the gods, touched the earth with his hand and called out three times, Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Homage to the blessed one, the arahant, the supremely enlightened Buddha. Now these verses are very powerful, and the verses that mention here in Pali, they are quite powerful verses, and sometimes people are using them during their chanting, because very interestingly and very powerfully, God Sakka praised the Buddha and approves his teaching and sort of ascertain his kind of certify his accomplishment that he is now a stream winner. So he's quite happy because he is completely free from hell realm now. So he openly declared that. As a result of that, he is praising the Buddha. And And ultimately, actually, another very interesting incident happened where God Sakka now appreciate Panchasika's dialogue, which happened before his arrival. Because he sent Gandharva Panchasika just to have an appointment with the Buddha. So he actually played his lute, and Buddha also, approved his skill. So in a way, Panchasika was able to have establish a kind of a cordial relationship with the Buddha. On that atmosphere, God Sakka arrives and put his questions. So God Sakka seems quite happy about what Panchasika didn't. And he understood this fellow is now in love with this Surya Vachasa, the goddess. And so as a kind of a reward, what Panchasika did, what God Sakka didn't was that he says, now I allow you to marry Surya Vachasa. I give her to you. Now he is the Lord, and Surya Vachasa is a very beautiful goddess. And God Sakka say, you are the king of the Gandharva clan now. So there seems to be different layers or different levels in the heavenly realm. So God Sakka is a very powerful god, but on the other hand, Panchasika, Matali, and etc., they are in a kind of a lower clan. Now God Sakka say, as a kind of an appreciation, kind of a reward, now I keep you as the king to all the Gandharvas. And as a reward, I give you this beautiful goddess, Surya Vachasa, as you desired. So this is the reward that God Sakka is giving to Panchasika. And here ultimately it is mentioned that during the discussion that the stream meaning or the Sotapan attainment has happened in the God Sakka, and not only him, there are 80,000 more gods who actually accompanied God Sakka realize the Dhamma. And it is typically mentioned as the insight arising during the stream in a state that yankinchi samudaya dhammang sabbantang nirodha dhammang. So that is the very profound understanding of the impermanence, and in another way the profound understanding of the conditioned nature, dependent origination, whatever is arising is subjected to ceasing. Whatever is arising is subjected to ceasing. So this is a very interesting as well as a very subtle insight that profoundly one may understand according to this sutta when one attains Sotapanna. So therefore, at the end of the sutta, it is mentioned that God Sakka and 80,000 other gods, celestial beings, were able to get this insight. Whatever is subject to arising is subject to ceasing. So after realization, so they attained Sotapanna, and God Sakka confirms it, and he rejoiced it, and again he praised the Buddha. So that ends the Sakkapanna Sutta, and with that I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon, Sutta teaching. Now I like to open the session for questions.